Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcome, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
That place that we are, so it breaks us down, God, and builds us to be exactly what you want us to be, Lord. So, Father, we pray, God, as I speak, God, that I'm just a clean pipe, oh God, that just delivers exactly what you want me to deliver, God. And Jehovah God, I take myself out of the picture in the name of Jesus, God. And I ask you, Father, to speak, God, to speak in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So today's message, I titled it, Come Closer. And the reason I titled it, Come Closer, was, and I think this is important to share this part. So about a week after I started preparing, about like 3 or 4 weeks, I started preparing for this message. And I prayed to God, like I asked him, hey, God, what do you want me to speak? And God goes and says, I want you to speak about intimacy. I want you to speak about how I can bring people, I can bring people to me, how God can bring people to himself. And then I kept praying, and maybe a couple of weeks later, maybe one week or a couple of days later, God gives me this verse. And I'm going to read it. It's Ephesians 18:21. But before I read it, the actual verse that was there is the Ephesians 5:21. But I'm going to do 18 just to, so you can get the context of it. So Ephesians 5:18-21. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing and making melodies in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all the things that God the Father, for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the verse: submitting to one another in fear of God. And if you go to the AMP, it says being subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. So submit to one another in the fear of God. And I was a little taken back because I did not get why I should be talking about what does intimacy with God has to do with submitting myself to my fellow brothers and sisters. And so I asked God, what does submitting to one another have to do with intimacy with you? And so this is what God said. I cannot have a relationship with anybody who does not have any regard for my body, and that's the church.
Amen.
I cannot have a relationship.
Say that again.
Okay. Yes, sir. So I cannot have a relationship with anyone who does not have any regard for my body. And when he's saying his body, he's saying the church. He says, I am the body, and the body is made up of brothers and sisters. You are brothers and sisters. And we are one part of the body. And if any part of the body is against the rest of the body, it's not complete. And I cannot reside in it. I cannot reside in that mess. And since God will not walk away from his church, he says, I will spit out those that bring division.
Yes. Amen.
So in this word, God is saying that, yes, I do. I know that you want to be intimate with me. I know that you want to get closer because there is a beauty of being intimate with God. But he's saying, as you prepare to be intimate with me, the very first thing I want you to do is I want you to submit to one another in the fear of God. It's not saying that just submit to one another. It's saying in the fear of God.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So I just look and say, what is this fear that I'm supposed, what is the fear of the Lord that I'm supposed to serve my brothers and sisters? And that when I do it, it brings pleasure to God. And God, actually, the Bible says it brings sweet aroma to him. It brings a sweet fragrance to him. So as I serve my brothers and sisters in this fear of the Lord, there is a fresh of breath air that comes in. And God delights in that. And so what is this? You know, because it's not the fear that, when you think about it in the Bible, we talk about all this fear. Do not fear this. Do not fear this. Do not fear this. But here God is saying, fear, you know, love, submit to your brothers and sisters with the fear of the Lord. See, what he's talking about is, he's talking about Okay, got it. So he's talking about the fear that we ask God to search our hearts and search our motives, that he will find whatever is in our heart. He's talking about the holy fear, the fear that keeps us in the confines of God's guidance and love. Yeah. So he's saying that it's the fear that you do not want to step out of the boundaries and the guidance that God has already put in place. Yeah. See, I use the word guidance because when we are guided and we abide by the rules set, then we can enjoy the love that comes with obedience. Yeah. So as long as you're within those boundaries of the things that he's put, then we're going to enjoy that. We're going to enjoy whatever he has for us. You know, think about it. Who's here is a Seahawks fan. Okay, that's good. So when you think about like the Seahawks, can you just imagine if there are no rules in the field? Would you really enjoy that game? You'd not enjoy that game. What if they came out and the different teams started going on different ways? How would that look? You would not enjoy that, right? But God is saying, so the same thing you are saying, people don't like rules, but we need rules in order for us to enjoy what God has for us, right? Because if we walk just, you think about it, you go out there and everybody is driving right and left and, well, some places, but, you know, people are driving however they want, then it's not good for your safety, it's not good for your kids' safety, it's not good for anybody. But the same thing, if we're just going around our world, just doing the things that we are doing, and we are not staying in God's guidance, then how is that going to be? How can we get closer to God? How can we be intimate with God, right? See, this is not a call for you to be scared of God. It's not. It's not a call for you to be walking tiptoes around God. You know, it's just being conscious of what you are, that you are within the confines of God. Because as soon as you step out of the confines of God, there is danger out there. Yes. See, 1 Peter 5 says, be sober, well balanced, and self-disciplined. Be alert and cautious at all time, that the enemy of yours, whose enemy? Yeah. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry, seeking someone to devour. Yeah. So he said it's walking around with an awareness of your surrounding. It's walking around knowing that this is what God has said, and I need you to abide. Not because, you know, you're scared because you're gonna fall. God is gonna smite you or anything. It's more like walk within my confines because when I created you, I had a plan for you, and this was the plan, and these are the boundaries. So then you can fulfill the purpose that God has called you, right? So, like in I'm from Kenya. If you guys don't know that, yes. Actually, Michigan, but yeah. So in Kenya, we have this game reserve. So the game reserve is called Masai Mara. It's 583 square miles. So what happens? All the wild animals are in there. They're enclosed. The fences are electric. So, but you have 583,000 miles. So all the animals are just ranging around there. So what happens is, Every tourist comes in and they get into these different cars, and they get into the cars and they drive within there. So as they go in there, you can go as long as you want. You're gonna be spotting different animals. I have a little picture. Michelle. Okay, so that's a picture from the Masai Mara. If you see, so basically when you see those guys, they're sitting there, they're enjoying that. So people drive around there. You know, it's 583 square miles. That's a long place. You can spend a lot of time. But see, so can you imagine? Just think about it. Right now, those guys are in the confines of their car. They are sitting there. I know the warden told them, okay, one of the things you don't do is you don't get out. Those guys are lying down there. You know, they look harmless, right? But you cannot get out of that. If you do, it's a lion. And the Bible is telling us that, you know what? People think that the devil comes in like, I'm going to hurt you. But the devil is hanging around outside the confines, right? Outside the confines of what God has set you. And the minute you step out, what do you think is going to happen to those guys? So that's one-on-one on Masai Mara. Please, when you go, do not get out of your car, okay? So God is saying that we need to treat each other with a holy fear, that if we do not walk in love continually, we'll find ourselves outside the protection of God. Yes. So we do need to treat each other in love, and not just once. Hey, I loved you last week. I loved you the week before. It's continually, every second. Because what's happened is the minute we stop doing that, we're going to find ourselves outside the confines of this, and then that's what's going to happen to us. Yes. Right? Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Okay. Just make sure I didn't scare you with the lions and stuff like that. See, so this is what God said too. I will not allow you in my courts, in my presence, if you do not love my children, if you don't love your brothers and sisters, if you do not esteem your brothers and sisters, I will not allow you in my courts. I weigh your motives and I know your heart. So it's not fake love. It's not, hey, let me show you that I love you, maybe a hug and good words. God is saying, I'm weighing your motives. I'm weighing your intentions. And when with those intentions, I'm either going to keep you in my courts or I'm going to spit you out.
Yeah.
And that there is sadness in that. Yeah. There is sadness in that, that if I can love my brothers and sister, if I cannot esteem my brother and sister, not just loving them, that is like finding even a little tiny thing that's good in them and esteeming them, encouraging them. If I cannot do that, then God is going to spit me out of his court, right? See, Ephesians 5:1-2 says, therefore become imitators of God. Yeah. Remember that word, imitators of God. Yeah. Copy him and follow his example. As well, beloved children, imitate their father and walk continually in love. That is, value one another, practice empathy and compassion, unselfishly seeking the best in others, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up as an offering and a sacrifice to God, slain for you, so that it becomes a sweet fragrance. Yeah. There you go. So God is saying, therefore, imitate God.
Yeah.
Love your brothers and sisters as God loves you. And not just the fact that he loves you, but he's going to the extent and saying, when Jesus died on the cross for you, that was the love that I need you guys to imitate.
Yes.
See, in this society, things are very different. I can say, hey, I love Pastor Matt, I love Pastor Crystal, but I can't stand Gabe, or I can't stand Faith, you know? It's kind of, that's what I'm saying, you know, you're saying, God, I love you, but then I don't really love your children.
Yeah.
I don't care about that,
yeah.
You know? But again, you know, when you think about it, these things do happen, where you're saying, you know, I can't stand the kids, I can't stand the husband, I like the wife, I can't stand the other person, I hate that person in the Bible, in the family. But think about it. The best way that the Bible describes it says, when Jesus was sent down to us, when he came and died for us, he didn't go around Jerusalem saying, I'm going to heal that one. I'm going to forgive that one. I'm not going to heal that one.
Yeah.
I don't like that one.
Yeah.
I'm not going to die for that one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He did not do that.
Yeah.
He did not go and pick and choose who he's going to love.
Right.
He loved everybody.
Yeah.
He took everybody and is like, I love them, saying that I love them with a godly fear.
Yeah.
I love them with that intimate godly fear. And guess what? That is the same love that we've been asked to do today. You are told that the same way Jesus was looking at those who are crucifying them and saying, God, he wasn't saying, God, can I love the ones who my disciples, the one who love me? Can I just love those? No, he was saying, even these who are crucifying me, I still need to love them with a godly fear. And that's the same love that we've been called today, that we need to love our brothers and sisters. The person sitting next to you, the person on the street, anybody who's in the house, who has the heart of Christ, you've been asked to love them with that fear. See, there is a beauty in being intimate with God. There is such a beauty being intimate with God. You know, being in a familiar, close, private, and personal relationship with the maker of the world. It's like you just like you, God like walks before you. He's with you all the time. You have like a beautiful relationship. Like, I love my wife and I'm intimate with her. But it's like, it's more than that. It's your thoughts become the same thoughts. You know, God's thoughts become your thought. Your desires become his desire. And it's not because he's going to change himself. It's because he's going to put the desires that he has in you. And so then you guys are working together. And it's just, there is a beauty in that. And all he's saying is, yes, I want you to come and be intimate with me. But before you do that, let me show you how to be intimate with me. Love your brothers and sisters with the godly fear that I have.
Yes.
Psalms 25:14 says, the secret of the wise counsel of the Lord is for those who fear him. And he let them know his covenant and reveal them. He reveals them its meaning. So this is saying that there are secrets. God has secrets. He has secrets that he wants to share with you. Can you imagine if you woke up in the morning and God is like, hey, let me tell you what I'm planning to do today.
Yes.
Let me tell you what I have a plan for Urban. Let me tell you what I have a plan for your brother Casey and go tell him about that. See, there's a beauty in that. Because he could do it himself, but he's saying, I want to share these secrets with you as my child. Same thing with anybody who has a baby. They know it's so cool when you whisper to you. Like when I have two girls, when I whisper to Simone and Alyssa, and I'm like, hey, this is what I'm planning to do for mommy today. It's her birthday. There is beauty in that.
Yes.
See, there is beauty in that. And God is saying, I'm the real dad. I want to show you that love. Yes. I want to show you that intimacy, right?
Yes.
And there is such a beauty with that. See, Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, through function, motives, or strife, but with an attitude of humility, being neither arrogant nor self-righteous, regard others as more important than yourself.
Yeah.
See, we've been called to hold each other higher than ourselves.
Yeah.
And in this society, that's a really hard thing.
Yeah.
But if we are walking with Christ, then it's possible. Otherwise, they wouldn't make it in the Bible, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because we've been told to imitate God.
Yeah.
Christ regarded us higher than himself because he died for us.
Yes.
He said, I will lay my life for you guys. Because again, with that fear of the Lord. And that's the same thing we are being called today. See, we're going to look at a story here in Luke 10:30, the parable of the Good Samaritan. So these young men asked God, who's your neighbor? And on Luke 10:30 to 37 says, Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along. And when he saw a man, he felt compassion for him. Going over him, the Samaritan soothed his wound with oil, olive oil and wine and bandaged him. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the inn 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If he runs bills higher than this, I'll pay the next time I'm here. Now, which of these would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the body? Jesus asked. The man replied, the one who showed his mercy. Then Jesus said, yes, now go and do the same.
Yes.
So we've heard this story, a couple of times. You know, a guy is beaten, he's on the side of the road, everything is torn from him. He's wounded and he has no hope. A priest and a Levite come by and they don't stop. But then there's this Samaritan who, the Bible says, despised. He wasn't liked. He comes in and he helps the guy. He's compassionate. He takes the time to bandage his wounds and pour oil and wine on him. He is committed. He's invested and sacrifices his time and money. See, every day we are faced by people who are beaten, who have been stripped down by the devil of their self-esteem, their self-worth, stuff that are stolen. And we must be constantly aware of our surrounding. Same thing I say, if we live in the confines of God, we're going to be aware of the surrounding. We have to be ready to share this hope that we have been given. And check this out. The readiness will only be achieved in the body of Christ if the church is healthy.
Yeah. That's right.
Let me say that again. This readiness will only be achieved if the body of Christ, the church, is healthy.
Yeah.
And how do we keep the church healthy? By taking care of our brothers and sisters.
Yes.
By esteeming them higher than ourselves. By loving them with our holy fear, right? See, it's easy for us to point fingers at priests and the Levite. Why didn't they help him? Furthermore, they are the ones who are charged to the people. In fact, you know, they should have stepped in and done the right thing, right? But the fact is, Jesus did not even spend time to explain that. What he did is, he took time to tell you about what you can do. How you cannot expect another person to do it. Well, you can step out and bridge that so that you can show each other the love of God. You know, so because I think sometimes in our society, we want to step back and wait for, that somebody else is going to get to them. Somebody else is going to help them. Oh, that person is the one who's in charge of that. Oh, that person is the one who get paid to do that. Oh, I'm not going to do that. But Christ is saying, if you see your brother and sister who are wounded, who are going through stuff, instead of waiting and watching from afar, he's saying, love of them with that godly fear. Hold them close to you. Right? See, think about it. This guy is in the middle of the road. The Samaritan comes in. He doesn't even know what's around him. He doesn't know if the robbers are still there. He doesn't know what's going to happen. But compassion makes him move. Compassion moves his heart. And that's the same thing we are being asked. Let compassion move your heart for your brothers and sisters. Because Christ's heart was moved because he loved you. There was compassion when he died on the cross for you. You know, so let's do the same. See, we've been called to be our brother's keepers, to esteem each other, to only say those things that edify the church. This is a commandment. We've been asked to only say those things that are edifying the church, and this is a commandment.
Yes.
See, this is the only way we can be intimate with God. He cannot reside in us if we are not willing to serve each other like Christ loved us. See, the other day I was thinking about how we always say that Christ's blood was poured out. And I agree it was poured out. But I went into a little bit more details to that, and I was like, poured is, you know, you get a basin of water and you pour it out, right? Right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, just check. English, so I have to make sure it's the right one. But when you think about it, though, in real sense, it was more like a drop by drop, right? He was beaten, and his skin was tore. There was bleeding, drop by drop, right? He carried the cross on the shoulder. The cross was crushing his wounds, so it was still dripping. It was blood by blood. It was drop by drop, right? He got nailed on the cross. It was still drop by drop, right? And the more I thought about this, the more it became more real to me that sometimes it's easy to say, you know, Christ died for me. It's this one little thing that happened, and yes. But it's like you think about the whole process. Every single step, he was bleeding. Yeah. And every time that was happening, he was imitating his father's love. Yeah. Every strike, he would say, you are worth it. Yeah. Every strike, he would say, you are worth it. Every nail driven in him, he would say, you are worth it.
Yes.
And guess what? This is the same love you are being commanded to imitate.
Yes.
Yes. That's right.
This is the same love. That when Jesus carried the cross and he's bleeding slowly, he's hurting slowly, he didn't say, I want to give up right now. I want to give up right now.
Yeah.
Yes, he had pain and he cried to God. But at the end of the day, he was trying to show you, hey, this is the same love that I'm requiring you to treat your brothers and sisters.
Yes.
This is the same love. It's not different.
It's true.
It is not different. See, Ephesians 5:1-2 says, like we read about it before, be imitators of God. Be imitators of God. Unselfish, seeking the best in others, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself for us. See, this evening you're not being asked to carry a cross or for your blood to be shed. But what he's saying is, God is saying, I take my children seriously.
Yeah.
I take the person next to you very, very seriously. Can you guys look at each other? The person next to you? Okay. I take the person next to you very seriously, that I had to endure what I endured for their sake. And if you do not see value in them, if you do not esteem them, if you do not hold them higher than yourself, then there is no way you can be intimate with me.
Right.
There is no way you can be intimate with me.
Right.
The only way I'm going to be intimate with you is if you value this, the people how I value them. If you look at them through the eyes that I look at them, that's the only way that I'm going to be intimate with you. And again, I go back to saying there is a beauty in being intimate with God. There is such a beautiful thing being intimate with God. See, Christ is saying we have to have our house in order. The body of Christ. Church has to be united. See, intimacy can only come if we care for each other just like Christ cared for us. If we are willing to be servant. Matthew 20:28 says, the Son of Man came not to serve, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to serve. He came to serve. And if you think about the story of Saul. Saul is walking down the street. He's prosecuting Christians. He's imprisoning Christians. He's putting them in jail, right? And he's walking down and then there's a light and then Jesus speaks to him. What does Jesus say? Acts 9:4, it says, and he saw, and Saul fell on the ground and heard a voice from heaven saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting and oppressing me? Think about that. Jesus, Paul wasn't physically oppressing Jesus. He wasn't. He wasn't like imprisoning Jesus. But yet, think about it. Why are you persecuting and oppressing me? So when we oppress and persecute our brothers and sisters, you are actually persecuting Christ. That's what he's saying. Right? Because think about it. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting and oppressing me? Right? How are you prepared to answer that question? What if God says, Saul, Saul? I don't want to name anybody, but I just want to use Saul. Saul. I don't want to use myself either. So. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting and oppressing me? Romans 12:5 says, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are part of one another, mutually dependent on each other. We are one body. We are the body of Christ. You know, you think about it as a body of Christ. It's kind of like when I... Who here likes to run? Okay. I'll pray for you. So, yeah, one person. So, yeah, I know. So you think about it. If you are running, you have sneakers, you are running, right? And then a little stone or a pebble gets in your shoes. How does that... What does that happen? Like, what happens with that? You either stop, and if you're doing a marathon where you're timed, how's that race going to go for you? Right? See, I was praying about this, and God said, we got to be careful that we're not bringing that pebble in the body of Christ. Because we've been called to run a race with endurance. Can you think now if you have to be stand before God and be charged that you're the one that brought that pebble in the shoe, and you slowed the race of the church. You slowed the race of Christ's body. How are you willing to respond to that? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting and oppressing me? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting and oppressing me? See, every single day we have to wake up in the morning. We have to, whatever time it is, we have to tell God. Psalms 139:23. Search me thoroughly. Not just a little bit, Lord. Cut deep. Let's go. Search me thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there's any wicked or hurtful ways in me. And lead me to everlasting ways. Because if you can say that prayer every single morning, then God is saying that he's going to reveal those things in you that you're not going to be charged for carrying the pebble in the body of Christ. You're not going to be charged to be. And so God is going to draw you near to him. You're going to draw near to God. And he's going to draw near to you. And you guys will be intimate. You guys receive that?
Yeah.
We still have like a few minutes, so Russ, you're not playing. Thank you. We have a few minutes. I'm done. I just want you guys to take about 5 minutes here and just think about what God is telling you today. Think about it, because like I said, the Bible says, "Search me thoroughly and know my anxious thought. Test me." Because sometimes we have a good intention, but deep inside, we don't realize what we have. And it's not until we allow Christ to search us deep inside. So take this moment and tell God, "God, search me deep inside. Search me. Search me and reveal if I'm carrying any pebbles against my brothers and sisters. Search me so then I don't hear, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you oppressing me?' Search me, Lord. Search me, Lord." Father, in the name of Jesus, I honor you today, God. I glorify your holy name, Father, for your word today, God. You are such a loving dad that you let us know these things, oh God, so that you can pull us towards you, God. And Father, I thank you for your word that went out today, Jesus, because I know, Lord, that it spoke in my life, Father, the last couple of weeks, God. I pray, King of glory, God, that we will act upon this, oh God. That Jehovah God will allow you in our lives every single day, every single moment, God, to search our hearts, oh King of glory, God. So Father, we can get to see you. We can get to see your face, oh God. And Jehovah God, you can put us to a place, Father, where everything we do is pleasing to you, oh God. Mighty King of glory, hear your people's heart tonight, oh God. Hear your people's heart, O King of glory, God, as they call to you, O God, Father, to cut deep in their hearts, O God, in their souls, O God, and reveal those pebbles that may be carrying, O King of glory, against your body, O God. So, Jehovah God, you can unify us, Lord. Because I know, Jehovah God, that a time will come when people from the outside want to come in here, God, and they want to see the hope that we have, God. And the only way for them, Jehovah God, to experience this love, God, is if we are loving with a holy, godly, fearful fear, God. We praise you tonight, Jesus, and we honor you, God. Be with us throughout this week, God. Be our guide, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Have a good night. Go get your kids, and Saturday, Easter egg hunts. It's going to be awesome. Invite 10 people. Right. And church on Sunday. We'll remind
Thank
them.
You for watching the Faith and Victory live stream. If you'd like to learn more about our church, please check us out online at faithandvictory.com. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat, and we'd love to connect with you there. If you'd like to financially support Faith and Victory Church's ministry, please text FAVC to 77977. God bless you and keep you. From the FVC Live team.